Fantastic. If you just to let you know why the computer isn't working, on Tuesday we were down at Graham Park and we had an outdoor carol event that we worked with Jesus House and some of the community. And Tuesday was a pretty rainy day, and basically the computer got rained on for 4 hours and now doesn't work. So if anyone's got an old laptop and would like to donate it to the church, we need one, because I don't think it survived the event, even though we did cover it with a coat. And poor Ken was under a tarpaulin with a coat looking after a computer that was on suffering badly. So that's what happened on Tuesday. But we had a great time just worshipping in the middle of Graham Park. We just sung similar carols to this morning, and we preached Christ faithfully. And although there wasn't many people there because of the weather, the response from the non-Christians that were there was phenomenal. And one of the ladies who works at Shop 15, which is a community shop, got hold of Tite, who led the project, and said that was so amazing. The guys who led that time of singing, it really blessed me, and I just have so much peace in my heart, and I'd love to come visit your church. Who is your church and where do you meet? So this morning that lady is off to Jesus House, and then Christina and Jill got to pray for a woman at the end of our sort of service as well. So the few people that were there were really, really blessed, and it was just amazing to be back there just doing what we do so faithfully. So thank you for everyone that made that work. What I'd like to do before I preach is I'd like to invite, I know Dawla's out doing kids, but Tim, could you come up to the front? Linda Thomas, Pete Thomas, is Jackie Bischoff here? No. Noetta? No. Joe Kamanu? Yes. Manuela? Yes. Laura Newbury? She's out doing kids. Oh, where's Steve? Steve, do you want to come up to the front and represent your wife? That'd be good. Marco? Yep, he's here. Jonathan's with Christina at the stable. Ken Wilson? And Pete? Great. So these guys and the few that are out serving, you never guess what they all do. They all lead teams in our church. They're sort of the people that are behind the scenes, that they just make church work. And if it wasn't for these guys and the teams that they represent, there would be no church on Sunday. It would just be me and Duncan preaching into thin air. So I just really want us to stand and give these guys a massive clap, because they serve you all so faithfully. You can all sit down. And Jules is here, isn't he? Okay. Can you give that to Jules later? Because Kath. Fantastic. Great. Okay. And the last thing in these random notices that we're sort of, Duncan asked the Orion School if they had anyone that was in desperate need and wanted some hampers. So we have 3 or 4 hampers in the office with the turkeys in the fridge. And if you are willing and able to deliver them, I have the addresses on my phone, and it just, and they're all local, they're sort of Graham Park and Burnt Oak. So if there's a couple of people that want to just jump on the end and go to someone's house, bless them, and just see what God will do, we have the ability for you to do that, and that'd be really, really helpful for us. Is that okay? So if you want to do that, come and speak to me at the end of the service. Okay, if you've got your Bibles, let's open up to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. So I love Christmas. I love everything about it. I love decorating the tree. I love eating more food than I can handle. I love 2 portions of everything. I just absolutely love the Christmas season. And but my Christmases over the last few years have actually been really quite tough. I've had my dad in hospital twice in the last 5 years, over the Christmas period and over Christmas Day. And, you know, he's not an old man. You know, but his health has just been really taking a hit recently. So I know what it's like to go through a Christmas where everyone else is celebrating with their family and you're just not in a celebratory mood, and you're thinking, oh, is this person going to survive? Or for some of us, maybe that person isn't there anymore. And I just was asking the Lord about that, and I was saying, you know, it's such an up and down moment. For some families, it can be a really high moment in their year. For other families, it can probably be the worst time of the year. The stress, everything that goes together. And I was just asking the Lord about it. And the Lord just said to me, you know what, Dave? It's love that conceives life. Love that conceives life. And you think, okay, so physically we know that if two people, you know, make love, they conceive life. You know, but spiritually, when we engage with Jesus and we allow him to love on us, does it breathe life into you? And how often do you let Jesus love you to breathe life into your situations? And I just really thought about that, and I thought about the opposite of it. So when you partner with fear, what does that bring? Well, it brings death, because you start worrying about stuff and everything sort of shrinks down. And I was just thinking, wouldn't it be great this year that we choose to allow Jesus to love on us a little bit more, that he'd bring life into our situations? So I just want to read about God breathing life into humanity's situations. So this is what it says, Luke 1, verse 26. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed by this, Mary tried to think, what could the angel mean? "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her. "You have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will last forever." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." And the angel said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby who will be born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant, and may everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. Okay, continuing into chapter 2, verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed a census should be taken throughout all of the Roman Empire. This was the first census that was taken when Quirinius was the governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, their time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her first child, a son, and she wrapped him in snuggly strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodgings available for them. So these verses that we read, that we so know as the Christmas story, these are the fulfillment of some other verses in the Bible that were written 600 years before. So if you've got an Old and New Testament Bible, rather than just the New Testament Bible or an iPhone, let's go to Isaiah 7 and let's read what it says in Isaiah 7. So Isaiah 7 verse 14 says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, God with us." And then Isaiah 8:6-8 says this, "For a child to us is born, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and his peace will never end, and he will rule with fairness and justice, and he will rule from whose throne? David's throne, and the passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." So here we have these verses that are written 600 years coming into fulfillment when we read it in Luke. And let me just finish off with a last little bit in Luke 2, verse 8 onwards. And it says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the field nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory shone around them, and they were terrified." Could you just imagine for a moment meeting an angel? Just sometimes you just sort of, you don't really engage with scripture. So just imagine that you're sat at your work desk and then a light that's brighter than anything you've ever seen in your entire life comes and stands next to you and says, "Good morning." What would you do? Your reaction wouldn't be normal, would it? You're not just going to like look at this light and be like, "Hey, how are you?" You know, you're not going to engage like you would if it was your boss or your work colleague. It's going to cause a reaction that's quite different. They were terrified, and rightly so. Rightly so. I think I would be terrified, and I'm sure you'd all probably agree that you'd be terrified. But the angel reassured them, said, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, Yes, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, in the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find him wrapped in snuggly strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of angels, the armies of the Lord God, praising, saying, glory in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom with God is pleased. And when the angel had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, do you reckon we should go to Bethlehem? Do you reckon we should go? Let's see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has told us about. And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in a manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened. Stop. How many times have you been to church and seen a miracle or heard someone say, God did this? How many times? 5, 10, 20, 50? Quite a few times. How many times have you gone back to your town or your workplace and said, I was at church on Sunday and X, Y, and Z happened? How many times? As I read through the Christmas story, what I notice is Mary's response was amazing. She said, I don't know how this thing's going to happen. I'm a virgin, but I believe you. The shepherds met an angel, and they said, okay, this is crazy, but we're going to go shout about it. And I think so often in our walk with God, we see amazing things, but we don't shout about the good news. And what's one of the key verses in this passage? It will be good news of great joy for all people. Well, all people can't hear great news unless some people shout about it. It's good news of great joy for all people. And us, we're a bit like the shepherds. We have received good news, but what are you doing with your good news? What are you actually doing with your good news? Are you sharing it or are you keeping it to yourself? And I think this has been the trouble with the Hamper Project for years. We've gone out and we've basically become like the glorified Christian version of the postal service. And you go out and you give this amazing gift, but this gift, although really helpful, unless it's really partnered with a fresh life in Jesus, this person's going to go through some more problems again. You know, they don't know the love of Christ. And so me and Duncan were talking about this, and we're saying, no, we have to work out a way of turning this project around. And therefore, over the last few years, we've limited the number of hampers that anyone delivers. So we did 3 this year. I think I did 6 last year. But there was a time when I did about 200. You know, me and Cooley were out in the snow till 6 p.m. one time. And, you know, when you're doing that amount of work, you can't go after the one. And I think sometimes in the Christmas period, you're doing that amount of work to get the dinner right. You're doing that amount of work to get the right presents. You're doing that amount of work to make everything perfect. And in the midst of it, some inconvenient opportunity for you to share the good news comes up. And it's always inconvenient because God's saying, are you going to step out of your agenda to go follow my agenda? And you're like, but I've got presents to buy, food to cook, hampers to deliver, church services to be at. You know, it's better that you turn up to church half an hour late and you talk to someone about Jesus than turn up here on time. It's better that dinner's a little bit burnt. I'm sorry to say. It's better. It's better to be inconvenienced by the Lord. It's about having your priorities right. And the shepherds had their priorities right. They shared the good news with the village. And just think about it. If you share that good news, you go into a village, I saw a big bright light. Okay, you're crazy. You know, just sometimes you've got to engage a little bit. Could you imagine them actually sharing the story? We saw an angel. Who sees angels? You know, as they shared that story, I imagine most of the village just laughed at them and said, I think you need counseling, or you've been spending too much time with the sheep. Now, just engage a bit deeper with it. Allow it to, you know, what would have been the response of the village? It wouldn't have always been positive. On Thursday, Duncan and I and some other leaders from London were just out in Bermondsey. And we walked around and we had a bracelet on us of 6 verses and a Bible that had a color-coded 6 verses. And I went up to maybe 10 people and just said, hi, my name's Dave, and this is my friend Ife. We're just out praying for people. Is anything, can we pray for you? How many people do you think said yes out of 10? All? 2? Any other guesses? 7. 3. 3 people said, yes, you can pray. So that means 7 times I heard no, go away, I'm busy, or something like that. And I think sometimes we're so afraid of the no, go away, I'm busy, that we don't get the free. And this is sort of that's been really stirring my heart, because God's always going after the one, but sometimes we have to sort of go through 99 rejections to get to the one. And it's challenging, and it really sort of, oh, this is awkward. And I'm always thinking, how do you even start a conversation? And I think over the years of doing it, what I've learned is it's just about discerning. So the three people that said yes, it was amazing. So two of them were two 17-year-old lads, and me and this guy called Ife went up to him and said, hi, my name's Dave, and this is Ife. We're just asking for anyone some prayer. Can we pray for you? And he said, yeah, I'd love you to pray for us, because I've been really wanting a life change today. This guy was set up, literally set up. And I said, oh, fantastic. What can we pray for? And he's like, oh, just I have so much trouble in my family at Christmas. And he just went off. You know, he was ready. He was ripe. And he just shared about his family problems. We prayed for him. We prayed for his friend. And I said, oh, let me give you these bracelets. You know, what does it say on there? He said, oh, it says Rom 3:23. Let me show you what that is in my Bible. I've never read a Bible. Okay, well, let's read it together. Opened it up. 6 verses later, I say to him, do you believe that Christ is the Lord? And do you want to confess that he is Lord of your life? He's like, yeah, I do. Comes to a saving faith on the streets right there of his friend. And then we just say, oh, and by the way, God says that you're going to be a builder and you're going to be an electrician. Guess what courses they're studying? Building an electrician. These two kids got wrecked by Jesus. But they were set up. They were set up. And the other person that we got to, that again, they were set up. They were lost. They were looking for directions. And we gave them the directions that they needed to Jesus, not to their job interview. But it's just, you know, it's how there are people that God is already speaking to that you don't know about that are in your world, but they're looking for someone to share good news. The other thing about Christmas is that I wanted to really highlight is that this good news is for us. This good news is for us. Good news of great joy is not just for those that don't know Jesus, it's for those who already know Jesus. And I love it when you flick through the book of Luke. So Jesus comes as a baby, he's born, it's good news of great joy. And then we know that chapter 3, he goes into he's baptized, and then he's then tested in the wilderness in chapter 4. But at the end of chapter 4, Jesus heals a man who's troubled by a spirit. Then he heals Peter's mother-in-law of a high fever. Then it says that Jesus heals multiple people and sets many people free that are struggling with oppression. And then in chapter 5, it says that Jesus heals a man with leprosy. And then in chapter 5, it says that a person that couldn't walk gets their healing and they're able to go home walking. And then in chapter 7, after some fantastic preaching, centurion's servant is about to die and Jesus restores their health. And then a dead widow's son is brought back to life. This is what God does. He does miracles. He does miracles. He is good news for all people. And I feel that it's a free gift. Miracles are a free gift. They're a free gift. And maybe this morning you need a miracle in your family. You need a miracle for your Christmas season. Maybe you need a miracle in your health. Or you need a miracle in a loved person's health. Or in your finances. Or in a work situation. Or in a child's life. But how are you going to respond to the free gift of Christ Jesus, the miracle? A miracle baby and a miracle giver. How are you going to respond? Are you going to respond like this? Well, I've heard the Christmas story before, so I let it pass me by. I've heard about Jesus' saving faith, but actually today is not the day for me to give my life to the Lord. I'll do it another day. Or I've heard about this, but today is not the day. Or you're going to say, you know what? I am desperate. I am desperate. Come and do a miracle in my life. Come and do a miracle. Whatever that miracle is that you need. And I think sometimes the miracle is really practical. So Michelle stood up here and talked about people's hardships at Christmas. And she, you know, not everyone here is going to be having Christmas dinner with their family. There'll be some people here where their families are a bit broken. And I just want to say, if that's you, I would really love you to text me and say, I would like to have Christmas dinner with someone. And then I'm not going to say who you are, but I'm going to text the church out and say, I've got this many people that need to have Christmas dinner with someone else. Because a friend of Claire's is now having Christmas dinner at our house, not because we're good people, but because she has a need and we can meet it. And I want to encourage us as family to set the lonely in families. That's living out the gospel. So if you're if you're not looking forward to Christmas because you've got no one to share it with, please give me a text, and then I will ask the church to love you well, and I know that they will. It's really practical. So I'd like to just pray for us at this moment in time. I don't know what your situation is, but if you feel like you really need a miracle, it doesn't matter what it is, I'd just like you to stand up. If you want a miracle this Christmas, in particular in family, in your health, in a loved one's health, in your finance or work situation, or a child's life, why don't you just stand up right now and we'll just all pray for you. Okay, and if you're around someone that's standing, why don't you just go lay hands on them? Okay, and I just want you to simply pray, kingdom of God come, will of God be done. You don't have to know their situation, but just begin to declare the kingdom of God coming with power on all these different people's lives. You don't need to know their situation. You just need to know that Jesus loves them and wants to bless them. And then just begin to pray as best you can. Off you go. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for people responding to a God of miracles and just saying, you know what, I need a miracle. Lord, I thank you for their humility. Lord, I thank you for their responsiveness to you, Lord. And I pray right now across this room, would you heal bodies? Lord, would you heal bodies, physical bodies, would they be healed, Lord? Would you restore family relationships and bring blessing, Lord, where there is pain and turmoil? Lord, would you release fresh grace into those situations? Lord, would you release healing to those that maybe aren't in this room, but they are the loved person of someone in this room, and we want to declare healing over their bodies, Lord. And Father, we want to pray for a releasing of financial provision, Lord, for others that are stood here that just really need it. Father, we just declare breakthrough in work situations that are keeping people stressed out and not sleeping. And Lord, we pray for those where their children are maybe lost and not walking with the Lord or have gone astray from the path. And we just say, come home, come home, come home in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you that we can stand in confidence and know that when we are praying in accordance with your will, you are always faithful to answer us. And Lord, we just stand in the gap. Lord, we stand in the gap and we say, Jesus, your kingdom come, your will be done in all these people's lives and those that they represent. And the church said, amen. Thank you. You can take your seats. And the last thing that I wanted to do this morning before we close is I've just been trying to work with a little team in our church to help us develop our prophetic gifting and words of knowledge, which tends to mean that you have to model something and then see what happens. So I just asked a few people in our church if they, if the Lord would speak to them during the week and see if he'd highlight somebody. And so I'm going to go first. So just got a, if the surname Johnson or the name Johnson means something to you, the number 69 and basketball, I feel God's got a word for you. So three things. So the name Johnson, the number 69 and basketball. Make sense to anyone? How many of them make sense to you? Which one? 69. Okay. I don't know. There's something about lights going out in a house around those three identifying factors that I felt. Does that make sense to you? Okay, well, it's clearly not for you. That's fine. I don't mind being wrong. I'm learning. I'm just modeling it to you. Okay, so let me go from again. So Johnson, number 69 and basketball. If they make sense to you, I'd love to hear from you because I just felt the Father wanted to say, never again will you experience this. I'm writing a promise over your life, and it's the promise of Noah, which is a promise of rainbows and an increase and a blessing. So if that's you, I'd love to pray that into you at some point later. The second one I had was someone with a middle name, Lisa, and so clearly a woman, and in your 40s. This is quite hard. I'm going to keep going. So anyone for that? The name Lisa, in your 40s. No? Your niece is Lisa. Is she in her 40s? Okay. This is what I felt the Lord speaking to that situation. It might be for you, it might be for her. But I can see this person, they're coming out of a time of isolation in their family and into a time of friendship and love. In their mind, they see themselves differently from a group that they're around. And the way that I saw that was I saw a sea lion looking at penguins. And because, you know, like penguins all huddle together and they all look the same. And this person was thinking, I'm not a penguin, I'm a sea lion. And I felt that this person was looking in on the church and they're thinking, I don't fit. And then God flipped the picture around and he showed me that all the penguins were completely different and they weren't all penguins at all. And then this person then came into that family and realized that they were different but accepted. And it was a sense of God's unifying love that accepted them. So that might be for you, Maureen, and it might be for Lisa, but just carry that in your heart. There's something about God's unifying love that's going to bless this person. And then the last one was for someone whose favorite color is yellow and their favorite animal is a lion. Lion. You, Joe? Okay. This is what I felt the Father say. And does melody mean anything to you? Yeah. No? Yes? No. Okay. So I had this for someone who... The lion represents a gift of leadership in your life, and the yellow represents an ability to release life. And in this season, the Father's anointing is on you to release others into life. It's a good word for you. Right, Pete, come up. Pete's got some words, so I'm just invite Pete up.
Just had a couple of words for a couple of people. One of them was for a lady. I don't have an age particularly, but you've been having a pain just between your neck and your shoulder, and intermittently it's been giving you problems with sleeping, and as a result of that, it means that you're just not living your life to the max, and God just wants to touch you and release you from that. There'll probably be some other things that as part of that healing that you'll be free from as well, but that's the symptoms, but just about here. So I don't know if that's anybody here that's a lady that's got that. Okay, Michelle. Okay, would you just put your arms out? I just want to pray for you. Just felt like it's interesting that we're talking about the post-delivering, Dave was talking about delivering hampers and stuff like that, and I've been thinking about this, that you know, it's just the message is for you, but God wants to give this to you as a gift to release you and bring healing, not just to that part of your body, but from the things that are creating that pressure and stress. So just receive this like a package from God. As you undo it, just receive it into yourself and just speak those words of life over you. Father, I just ask for the power of the life of Jesus to come and bring full and complete healing in every way that is relevant to that part of Michelle's body, but to other things that are related, if there's stress and other things and pressure, that she would sleep well, fully, and that it would affect her days as she works, that she would be able to be fully engaged and know the fullness of life, in Jesus' name. Thank you. And just the other thing was that for a guy, a young man, I think in between his 30s and 50s, and I believe that for you that you're getting a sharp pain in the small of your back, like just about here. I don't know, I mean, I might get the age wrong here, so I mean, we're all in training here. It was like, it's just like a stabbing pain, so I don't know how regularly it is or whether you've lifted something badly. I don't know whether that's anybody. Of course, if it's a woman, then I guess you're equally okay to say, yeah, that's me, and I've got it a bit wrong. That was specifically for a guy. Okay, so if that's not someone here, then there's no point in me sharing the other bit for it. And finally, I'm not going to share the bit that was for you necessarily. And that was that I felt there were a few people here actually, particularly coming up to this time of the year, when, you know, when you get an app on your computer or on your phone, you can sign in. And sometimes, like, if it's a bank account, you sign in and then you sign out because you don't want to leave that signed in. But there are seasons in your life where you have it's like you come along on Sunday and it's like you sign in and you're really wanting to hear from God and you're really kind of full on with God. And then somehow by the time you get to Monday morning, it's like you're just logged out and it's like, you know, somehow God's voice seems a little bit evasive and distant from you. And God says, okay, you've kind of logged out, but I never log out from your life. I'm walking with you all the time. And if you just wake up with me in the morning on Monday and walk with me, then you'll know what it's like to walk with me every day and every moment of your life. And I know we all have moments when we kind of like phase out and then we suddenly think, goodness me, you know, God, I really need to talk with you. I really need to sort of engage with you. I just want to encourage us, especially over Christmas when there's so much going on, just to be aware of needs around us for other people so that we don't just kind of log out and disengage. Okay.
Jerry, do you want to come up with the band and lead us in one more song? And our final one's from Jill Hanton, who emailed me last night because she's with Duncan up in Bedford today with her daughter Lauren. And she said she felt God say, there's a lady here called Katie and your mum's name is Joan. You've always loved the twinkly fairy lights at Christmas. Also that you feel a darkness, but God says his love outshines the darkness, just like the twinkly lights shine out in the darkness at the Christmas season. So if any of those words, I know sometimes when we do this, some people just don't want to respond, so I don't know what they're going to be said over them. But if you want to respond privately, just come and speak to me and Pete. We'd love to pray for you. So if the sort of name Johnson, 69, and basketball relate to you, again, the colours yellow and a lion, and what Jill shared, what I've just read from Jill and what Pete shared, we'd love to pray for you. But let's sing a song to finish.